What is the main theme of 1 Thessalonians? Raise your hand if you know. Wow. I have failed. Howard, what's the main theme of 1 Thessalonians? Brett, what is it?
The appearing of
the Lord. Amen. The return of Jesus Christ. Remember, it's in every chapter. Let's review that again. So let's see if you can find it in chapter 1. Raise your hand if you found it and read it to us. Just whatever talks about the second coming of Jesus. Anybody find it? Is it in chapter? Brad?
Verse 10.
Okay, read it for us.
And to wait for the Son from heaven, and be raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
So there it is in chapter 1. Anybody find it in chapter 2? The return of Jesus. The pressure's on. Okay, read that for us, Mark.
For what is our hope for joy, for crown of rejoicing, not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ
at his coming? Amen. And then chapter 3, did anyone find it in chapter 3? Yes, Brent?
Verse 13, to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. And then chapter 4, we looked at last week. The beautiful passage on the upcoming rapture. So tonight, the theme continues here in the beginning of chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. It says, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. So let us not sleep, he tells us there in verse 6. That's our title. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we study your word together this evening. Guide us in your truth. And Lord, I pray that you would truly speak to us about our Christian walk. Lord, is it in accordance with your word? And Lord, is it truly expecting our Savior? Have your will in our hearts. We love you. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. So last week we looked at the rapture passage and also did a little Bible study on why the church cannot go into the tribulation period. And we saw the blessings of believing that great truth, right? If ye believe, he said there in that passage. But now Paul gives us some practical exhortations about our Christian life, again relating to the fact that Jesus is coming soon. And this time he refers to as the day of the Lord. So we're going to understand what that's talking about. Notice in verse 2, yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. As with many times in Scripture, the word day doesn't always mean a 24-hour day, does it? And that's the case here. This is a very long day that begins with the rapture and goes through the tribulation and right into the kingdom. All of that is the day of the Lord. But the day of the Lord is primarily the wrath that is poured out upon this earth during the tribulation period. Remember, that was one of the reasons last week why we saw the church cannot go into the tribulation. It's because it is a time of wrath, and the church has already been delivered from that. Look at verse 9, which we'll look at next week. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. How do we know it's the time of wrath? Well, let's look at some scriptures. Let's look at Isaiah 13, 9 and just remind ourselves. Remember, recently we went through all the prophecies of the Old Testament, and this phrase, day of the Lord, just kept showing up over and over again. Isaiah 13, 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. So that's a description of the day of the Lord, isn't it? Let's look at another one in Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 10. And again, we'll be reminded that the day of the Lord, which begins with the tribulation period, is a time of wrath. Jeremiah 46:10, "For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood." Now the book of Joel, chapter 1, verse 15. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, chapter 1, verse 15. Remember, the day of the Lord was one of the primary themes of the book of Joel, back when we preached through it. Notice Joel 1, 15. "Alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is at hand. As a destruction from the Almighty shall it come." Look at chapter 2 in Joel, verse 11. "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?" Now, this is just a sampling tonight, but the day of the Lord begins with the wrath. God pouring out his wrath upon Israel, upon this earth, in what is referred to as the tribulation period. Paul says that it's at hand. Remember that one of the other reasons why we learned last week the church cannot go into the tribulation period is because it does away with the imminency of the return of Jesus Christ. If we go into the tribulation period, then we're going to know when Jesus is coming, to the day pretty much, which means we should have been watching for the Antichrist instead of the Christ. But no, we've not been appointed to wrath. And no, we aren't Jews. It's a Jewish dispensation. And as we can see here in the scriptures, we're to be looking for Christ. So it's at hand. It's always been at hand. Paul believed that it was going to happen before he died. And rightly so. We should all believe this. And we should all live for it. So let's look tonight, therefore, in the rest of this passage, knowing that the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. In other words, it's going to catch people unaware. It's going to come suddenly. Knowing that this is true, what should that mean to us, practically speaking, as God's children? The first thing, verse 3, is that we need to warn others. Notice it says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." More and more the world is trying to tell us that things are getting better. And we just look around and say that's the opposite of what is true. Things just keep getting worse. The Bible said that would happen. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, we're told in 2 Timothy 3:13. So when they start telling us that things are good, we know that things are bad and things are close. And we need to warn them. The world is going to keep telling us things are okay. And they're not okay. Hell is real. And people are really going to go there. And so, as long as Jesus hasn't come yet, as long as the day of the Lord hasn't started yet, we have an opportunity to warn them that it is coming, and that it is real, and that it will happen. Look at Luke 21:34 quickly if you would. And so the first exhortation that we can see from knowing that the day of the Lord is at hand is that we need to be warning people. Remember the passage last week, it said, "Even as others which have no hope." That's describing the world. They don't have a hope because there's only one hope, and that's Jesus and his return. But notice Luke 21:34, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." Sudden destruction. That's what the day of the Lord will bring. 3/4 of the earth will die in 7 years. Imagine that. We don't know how many people are saved, but let's say there's 6 billion left after the rapture. That means 3/4 of those 6 billion will die in 7 years. That's a lot of people. It is a time of wrath. And the world's going to keep saying peace and safety when sudden destruction will come upon them. So the first exhortation we see is that we need to warn people. The second thing, verse 4, ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. We should not be overtaken. We should not be surprised. We should not be ashamed when it does happen. That it shouldn't overtake us. It shouldn't surprise us. We should be expecting it. We should be living for it. And yet many Christians won't be ready. Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Every time somebody comes out with a prediction of when Jesus is going to come back for the rapture, I always say to Debbie, well, we know it's not that day. They just ticked off another one. Every time somebody predicts, well, it's definitely not going to be that one because God's going to make sure nobody's right, that nobody guessed it. But Christians need not be overtaken. They need to be expecting it. Look at 1 John 2:28 where John tells us this, that sadly some Christians will be ashamed at his coming. Why? Because they weren't ready. They weren't expecting Christ to come back. And so their lives weren't what they should have been. They weren't serving Christ. They weren't expecting Christ. Notice 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, abide in him. So he's definitely writing to Christians. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So we cannot be overtaken. We cannot be surprised or ashamed when Jesus comes. And that will only happen if we expect it and live for it. Amen? The third thing we see in verse 5 of our passage, it says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We should walk as children of light. That's pretty basic. We already are children of light. Doctrinally, it's done. We've been transformed from darkness to light. We are the light of the world. Now God says he wants us to act like it. Act like children of light. Why? Because the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Don't you want to be found walking as a child of light instead of a child of darkness when Jesus blows the trumpet? Of course we do. And as we're told in Ephesians 5:8, you're light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Jesus said, what? Matthew chapter 5, you're the light of the world. So we need to walk as children of light. The fourth thing we see in verse 6 is don't sleep. Let us not sleep as do others. And God has a lot to say in the book of Proverbs about slothfulness, about sleeping too much, taking it easy. Look at Romans 13:11. In other words, we have a rest coming, but this isn't it. We're told in Hebrews 4 that our rest is in heaven. That while we're here, we're to be working, we're to be serving. As Jesus said, the night cometh when no man can work, referring to the day of the Lord, when it's too late. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. When Jesus was rebuking the Laodicean church, what did he say? I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. He said, I would rather that thou wert cold or hot. So God does not want Christians to be sleeping on the job and to be found sleeping on the job. As Jesus said in Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Will he find Christians still faithful in serving God, or will they be sleeping? So that's our fourth exhortation. Our fifth one is in verse 6, but let us watch. Do a count sometime. Get your online concordance out. Don't have to do the old-fashioned way anymore. And look how many times Jesus tells us to watch. In other words, we're not to be walking around with our eyes in the sky. That's not what he's saying, because then we'll just trip. But we're to be expecting Jesus to come back at any time. It could happen. We're told to be sober, be vigilant. Many times in Scripture, he tells us in, well, an example, Mark 13, we can turn there quickly. But Jesus tells us over and over again to watch, to be expecting his return. Just look at the one verse. Verse 37, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Just one word, watch. In other words, be ready. Be expecting the return of Jesus Christ. What's our sixth exhortation? Verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians 5, be sober. That is not referring to alcohol necessarily, although alcohol is wrong and a sin. That is talking about being serious about the Christian life, serious about why we're here. Many times in the New Testament, we're told to be sober. That there's so much to be done, and the work to be done is very serious. Amen? The cause of souls. It couldn't be any more serious than that. And the devil's after us. Again, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be serious, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Oh, we can't just aimlessly wander around saying, oh, God loves me, everything's wonderful, it's all okay. No, you got to be serious about your Christian life, about the walk for Christ. And he says again in verse 8. And then our seventh exhortation, it's always good when there's 7 points, is put on the new man. Look at it, verse 8. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. You know what the hope of salvation is? We just read about it. Jesus is coming soon to take us to be with him forever. That is our hope. That our salvation isn't complete yet. Our soul and our spirit are saved, but our body isn't. It still gives us trouble, doesn't it? It's still falling apart. And the older we get, the more that's true. But one day, it'll be complete. When that trumpet blows, if we're still alive, hallelujah, we don't even have to die. We just meet the Lord in the air like we read last week. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Think about that. In our new bodies. That's our hope. And until that happens, what does God want us to do? To put on the new man. Put on the armor of God, as we read in Ephesians 6. The 7 pieces of armor that we need. Or in Ephesians 4. Put off the old man, which is corrupt. Be renewed in the spirit of mind. Put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Put off, put on. We're told that over and over again. Why? Because we have a hope. We have the only hope. The hope of salvation. Look at Titus 2:13. We'll close there. This is our hope. God calls it the blessed hope. Here in Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope. Hallelujah. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is our blessed hope. And 1 Thessalonians, as we've seen, addresses it in every chapter. The great hope that Jesus is coming soon. What should that mean for us? We need to warn others. We need to not be surprised when it happens. We need to be expecting it and walking as children of light. Not sleeping on the job, watching and waiting, being sober or serious about our Christian life, and continue daily to put off that old man and put on the new man. Put on that breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation, because the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It's going to catch a lot of people off guard. Definitely catch the world off guard. But it shouldn't catch Christians off guard. We need to be expecting it, watching for it, and living for it. Amen. Let us not sleep. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word and for this beautiful passage and reminder that, again, you're coming soon to usher in your day. And I pray that until then, Lord, we would be faithful. We would not sleep. We would be sober. We would honor you with our lives and walk as children of light and be watching for our Savior to come. May this be real for us, Lord, not just assenting in our minds, but believing in our hearts and our actions. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.